I want to jump right in with a new message this morning. We just finished up a series called Think Better, Live Better. And if you missed those, you can get online at churchpluggedin.com and take a listen to those. But this morning, I want to talk to you about moving towards your promise. How many believe that God has a plan for your life and has had a plan for your life? Could you raise your hand if you believe that? I believe that as well, that God has an individual plan for each and every one of us. There is the universal will of God, and there's also the personal will of God for my life. I look in the scripture and I read and I see what does God desire for us collectively as a whole to do, but there's also that personal will of God that he has for each one of us and that he speaks to you individually. So before we dive in and we look at that, and I want us to go to the Lord in prayer just that our hearts and our minds would be open to receive from the Lord. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that our hearts and our minds would be open to receive what you have for us here this day. Lord, I thank you for speaking to us, and you have spoken to us in the past, but I thank you for continuing to speak to us here this morning. Your word, Lord, is special to each one. Lord, that when we leave here, we have a mission, a mandate from you to fulfill. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Now, this scripture, this word came to Jeremiah specifically to him. And the Lord spoke to him. But I think that we can glean from this what the Lord did here with Jeremiah and what he spoke to him, namely this right here. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you before that. God's awesome, amen? And he knows the beginning, the middle, and the end. We know many things, but God knows all. And God is saying to Jeremiah here, I knew you before I even formed you. Before you were born, I gave you something to do beforehand. Before you were even born, it was appointed the calling on your life. And the thing is before you were born and before I was born, this is, what we can glean from this scripture is that he does the same with each of us. We can see that God in his word has a special personal relationship with each and every one of us. It's personal. When we believe, we confess with our mouth and we believe, it's an individual act when we come to God and we give our lives over to him. And from there in that relationship, as we begin to speak to him, he begins to speak to us. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, I hear what you're saying, but I've never experienced that. That's okay. I believe that there's timing for all things. And this morning, there's going to be something here for you. Just open up your hearts to be able to receive that this morning from God. I believe even that God could speak to you today, either during the message or after the message, maybe when we're praying or whatever it may be. God could speak to you here and now this morning about that, like his purpose and plan for you. If you've never been told or you feel like, oh, well, God's never led me in any sort of direction, I believe God could do that with you today, right now. How many could believe that with me? I believe that. And if maybe, you have been told something from God, and God has given you a purpose, God has given you a plan, given you a something in your heart, and he's dropped something down in there. And maybe it's more than one thing. Maybe there's several things that God, over the years, he's dropped into your spirit. He's dropped into your heart, and you know you're supposed to do this or that. But you just haven't seen it come to pass, and you're kind of wondering. How many could just say, just being honest, like you're kind of wondering about that? Is there anybody like that where God's kind of spoken to you a few things? That's good because, I've been in that spot before where I was kind of wondering, God, well, you showed me this, you showed me that. And you know what? God has shown me some things for my future from here, from this day moving forward that I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to take place. And from time to time, I wonder about it. But, I got an email this past week, I think it was the week before last, and it was from Dr. John Polis. Now, he's the president of Revival Fellowship International, and we are part of RFI. It was a collection of churches with them. And we thank God for his leadership and his wife, Dr. Rebecca. And I got this email from him, and he sent it out to many individuals. And he was talking about six characteristics of Joshua and Caleb to receiving your promise. And I thought, man, this is really, really good. So guess what we're doing this morning? We're going to go over these six characteristics. This message this morning is highly influenced by that email that Dr. John sent. And because I think it's so vital and so important for us to make sure that we are moving towards our promise, whatever it is that God has shown us, that we are moving towards that, that we're not stagnant, that things don't get stale in our life, that things don't just be like, oh, it's just one day after the next. How many know what I'm talking about there? Where it's just like life can just get, well, it's just one day to the next, and you're just kind of wondering what is going on, or when is this going to happen that God has spoken to me about and given me an assurance about? When is this going to take place? And I think it's important and it's imperative for us to always be moving towards the things that God has shown us in our life. Amen? So the six characteristics of Joshua and Caleb who obtained what was promised by God, I want to look at those here. And so first, just to set this up, we have to understand, and many of us know the story. Maybe you've seen the movie Ten Commandments from way back in the day, or I think there was a new movie about Moses. I don't know what was in that. I have no clue. I didn't watch that one. But maybe you know that the children of Israel were enslaved at that time in Egypt, and they began to raise their voice to God and say, deliver us. Deliver us, because we are enslaved to these oppressive individuals here in Egypt, and we want to get out. We want to be delivered. And so the Lord answered their cry, and he raised up his servant Moses to deliver them out of Egypt. Thank God for Moses. Amen. So Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt through all kinds. There were all kinds of things that took place, and we don't have time to go through those, but we know there were plagues, and how many know about the Red Sea parting? You've heard about that before. Well, that was Moses. He stretched out his staff, and the Red Sea parted, and they walked on dry ground. I love that part. Miracle. It's just awesome. So the children of Israel were now on their way to the promised land. And some other things happen in the calf and the mountain, and there's all kinds of things. And if you don't know the story, you can get into the Word and look at that and read that. But we're going to pick right up in Numbers chapter 13 when the children of Israel are right on the edge of what God has promised them. How many could say, I feel like I'm right on the edge? Maybe you've got that feeling. Maybe you're wondering, but maybe there's some of you in here, I'm right on the edge of it. It's like I'm right there. I can taste it. I can see it. This is where the children of Israel are at right now. Now, they've been through a lot, and they've done their complaints, and they've done their things, but God has always provided for them, and they're right there, and I can just imagine the children of Israel at this time, they're ever hopeful, and they're right on the edge, and like, wait a minute, the promise is right there. Now, we're going to look, chapter 13, verse 1, we just set that up. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Now, as you read in Numbers 13, and you continue to go down, you'll see that 12 individuals were chosen. That was the 12 tribes of Israel that were represented. And so 12 spies were sent out. And Joshua and Caleb were two of the spies that went out. And so they went to search out the land. And that's characteristic number one. They searched out the land. They searched out the land. And so the first two characteristics today, all 12 individuals qualified for these first two characteristics. But Joshua and Caleb were part of that, and we're going to focus on them. And here's the thing. We see that there. When you go to search for something, you know it exists. Is that right? If you've ever lost something in the house, how many's ever lost their keys or their wallet or something? Isn't it the worst thing when you can't find your keys? It is like the worst, especially when you've got somewhere to go, you've got an appointment, you're ready to go, and then also I can see her smiling. You're like, is somebody lost their keys recently, maybe? It's frustrating. Where are the keys? We've got to get there. It starts at 10. We've got to get there. Maybe you lost them before church, and you were trying to get here. It can be really frustrating, but you know, you're searching it out for the key, but you know the keys exist. Because you've seen it before. These individuals were searching out the land because they had gotten a word from God about the promised land. That there was a land flowing with milk and honey, and it exists. And so they believe that this land does exist. And wouldn't you believe, after all the miracles that had taken place up to this time, especially after you see a sea divide before you and you walk across on dry land, it's not such a stretch to believe that there's a nice piece of property over here, okay, that I can live in that's going to be great. How many know what I'm talking about? So they know that this land exists, and they're going to search out for it. To go search something, you've got to know that there's something there to find. A great man of God once said, if you can see the invisible, you can do the impossible. I like that. Because see, as we meditate on the Word of God and pray in the Spirit, we are searching out the land of our lives to see what lies in store for us in God's plan. As we get before Him, as we pray, as we read His Word, we are searching out and we're saying, God, what do you want me to do? What here in your Word are you needing to illuminate for me so that you can show me what I'm to do today, this day? What can you show me that I'm supposed to be moving towards? Maybe that I can't see it right now, but I know it's there and I can continue to move and search out till I get there. Everybody with me? Amen. The Holy Spirit in us enables us to see future events before they happen. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us, not men and not our circumstances. Let me give you an example of this. Years ago, before I was married, and this is one of the few times I felt the Lord speak to me extremely strong. Now, the Lord talks to me all the time, but there's a few times when in my life where the Lord has spoken to me so strong that I knew that I knew that I knew. And before I was married, I had a desire. I said, Lord, I want my firstborn child to be a boy. And I want my secondborn to be a girl. And after that, I don't care. It was just something that was on my heart. It was something I wanted. I went before the Lord, and you know what? I got a word from God very strong that He was going to do that for me. Now, maybe that sounds kind of weird to you or whatever, but it doesn't sound any more weird than the great men of God who have gone before God to ask Him for something, and they granted it. I look in the Scripture, and I see those things, and I see it, and what they said. And the men of faith, when you go and you read in Hebrews, and the word that they got, and then they stood on it. And some of them were those that went to God, and they were told something, and they were assured they got it. Remember, Solomon went before the Lord, and God told him, because of this, and then gave him extra on top of that. I was blessed with four beautiful children. Now, my wife, when we got engaged and we began to talk about children, maybe even before we were engaged, and, you know, I said, now, you know that our firstborn's going to be a boy. And she goes, well, I don't know that. I said, well, I do, and you better. Now, that may sound weird to you. And she goes, well, you don't know. I said, you need to stop right there. This is a true story. You can go ask her afterwards. I said, I'm not going to marry you unless you change your mind right now. You can ask her. I was dead serious. I said, because I'm going to marry somebody who lines their life up with the word from God. And that was a word given to me, and therefore you're aligning yourself with me. You've got to be lined up with what the word is Lord is telling me. Now, look, that sounds weird. That may sound weird, but I'm telling you, that's what I told her. And she said, okay. I said, I do not want to hear any doubt on that right there at all. I never want to hear any doubt. And she didn't. She didn't say a word of doubt from then on that I can remember. We're sitting at her family's table, and we got married, got pregnant right away. Hallelujah. Wasn't planned, but it's all right. We're sitting at the dinner table, and they were all trying to figure out what that was going to be. Carrie Ann was nice and quiet. She didn't say anything. And so the different ones were trying to say, well, oh, I hope it's a girl. I hope it's a girl, and this and that, you know. Carrie Ann was a firstborn girl in her family. And I said, well, it's going to be a boy. Well, how do you? I said, it's going to be a boy. The Lord told me it will be a boy, so therefore it will be a boy. It got real quiet at the dinner table. They weren't used to that. But that's what the Lord told me. And we got confirmation shortly after that. Guess what? It was a boy. And then I went ahead and told him, I said, the next child I'm going to have is a girl. And that was before we even got pregnant. I don't know what they thought of that, but they got real quiet. They probably think I'm loony. And listen, when God gives you a word, they may think you're loony. They may think you're weird. But you've got to go with what God has spoken to you. That's what you have to go by. If God gives you something to do, you do it. If God tells you, go speak to that person over there across the street. Go talk to this person. Look, I was talking to someone in the chip aisle the other day at Walmart. I was telling Justin about it. I didn't plan on it. I just started talking. We're talking about potato chips. And see, the next thing you know, you can start talking about the Lord after conversations like that. How many know what I'm talking about? On the chip aisle. Wherever you're at. I'm cutting my hair, my son's hair cut this week. And so I saw on the board there, they had different business cards, and we have invite cards. And by the way, we have church invite cards if you want to get some of those. I said, hey, is it okay if we put a church invite card on there? And so then the other person in there is looking, and the other person too, and there's like three of them in there, and they're all looking over at me. And she, well, what business is it? And I said, it's a church. And now everybody's quiet. But she was like, oh, wow, really? Okay. Ask me about the church. So I'm not telling her about the church. I'm hanging out. She goes, do you have any more? We can put them in the pouch here for people to take with them. I said, great, I'll get some more. I had run out. That was my, I had two. That's all I had. I said, here's one more. I'll get some more for you. Yeah, that'd be great. If you don't open your mouth and do what God's leading to you to do, it doesn't happen. Now, did I have to do that? No. But the Lord led me to do that, so I did it. Simple thing, super simple, super simple. We better move on. We're never going to get finished this morning. We're only on point number one. How many's ready for 1 o'clock in today? And then I'm just kidding. The Holy Spirit enables us to see things before they happen. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us. It's not man. It's not our circumstance. It's not weird. It's not magic. It's not those kind of things. It's the Lord leading us in the way we should go. The second thing that we see about these who searched out the land is they were mature. In verse 2, it says, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among you. These men had the quality of faithfulness, or they wouldn't have been leaders. They were mature and responsible men who had proven their character before the Lord. Those who are entrusted with great responsibility have been trustworthy with smaller responsibilities in the kingdom of God first. The more that we mature, the more God begins to speak to us things and share with us things. In my house, there are many decisions and things that we've had to make over the years. And there are times when my wife and I, we have to talk separate. We have to talk private. Why? Because the children aren't mature enough to hear what we're talking about. So we have to wait. But as they've gotten older, they've been included in more conversations that we've had about decisions we have to make. And they've been able to give their opinions. They've been able to give their desires to us, their wants, what God's even speaking to them about it over the years. But we have to wait until they're mature. I couldn't talk to my, 3-year-old, my 4-year-old about our living situation and where we were going to move to next. They didn't get it. But see, as they got older, I can talk to my son over this last move. Hey, what do you think about this house? You think we should go there? I can get his opinion. He's 16 at the time. There's nothing wrong with that. Because why? He's mature and he's proved in himself as faithful in my house, in the Hall House. As we prove ourselves faithful before God, the more things that he will share with us. If we are faithful to God, he will begin to show us things that we've never seen before. Maturity is simply this, the acceptance of responsibility. Ed Cole taught us that years ago. As we begin to accept our responsibilities in the kingdom of God, God will show us more and more things. Amen? The 12 spies went out, and then they came back. They reported that the land was flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord promised. But they said, oh, the land is filled with people who are strong. You know, here's the thing about the leader before we keep moving on. I want to say this too. You know, you may feel like, well, TJ, I'm not a leader and I'm never going to be. Look, you may not be a leader in the same ilk as a Joshua or a Caleb or whatever, or this pastor or that teacher in this other school or this county official or a judge or a senator or whatever. You may not have a leadership type position. That may not be you. But we are all in the body of Christ, and we are all to mature in the body of Christ, whether we attain a certain leadership position or not. Remember, Jesus was the great shepherd, but he was also a servant. And as we look at Christ and we look at his example and we begin to mature looking at the word of God and in prayer, we can become a servant of Christ at the very least. Amen. That's what we all are. That's what I am. I am a servant first, a leader second. Amen. So they went back and they reported, they said, hey, this is the promise. We found it. Oh yeah, we found it. In church, the thing is when you search, you will find. You knock and it's going to be open to you. This is what the scripture says. So when we search out and we're always searching, you're going to find it. It's just a matter of not, do you have the faith to overcome what you see, the obstacle, so you can go and obtain it. Amen. In Numbers 13, verses 30, it says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. This brings us to the third characteristics of Caleb, Joshua and Caleb, and we'll read about Joshua in a moment. They had a spirit of faith. They had a spirit of faith. And this is where Joshua and Caleb separated themselves from the other spies that went out. Yes, they all searched out. Yes, they were all mature individuals, but there was something different about Joshua and Caleb that went beyond just maturity. You can mature in God, but if you don't have a spirit of faith, you will not see the promises of God in your life. You've got to have a spirit of faith. In this verse, Caleb also, he showed, you look at it here, he stilled the people and he said, in other words, the faith wasn't just something he believed. It was something that he spoke out of his mouth. He wasn't no closet Christian. Amen. We've got enough of that in our society today. We don't need closet Christians. What we need are Christians who are bold enough to profess what they believe with their mouth to those around them and to begin to change the world around them. Even if it's something, a simple word that God is bringing to us for those individuals. Amen? Paul, when talking about the hard trials of ministry, he said this in 2 Corinthians 4:13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Paul was quoting from Psalms 116:10, which the writer there in Psalms is professing faith despite afflictions. Despite what's going on, despite what the opposition is that you are facing, you believe, therefore you speak. And see, the believing is usually the part that when we first get a word from God, the believing is like the simple part. It's like, oh, wow, I believe, you know, you hear that from God and you believe it because you felt it. You felt the Spirit stir within you. Maybe you were reading a verse. Maybe you're reading a scripture. Maybe you're in prayer before God and you're seeking him and you're saying, God, what do you have for me? What do you have? And then you say, wow, that's so good. God dropped that in my spirit. And you know how you know when it's God? Is when it's something really good and something that the enemy wouldn't tell you to do. And you wouldn't tell yourself. To be honest, I would not tell myself to go witness to somebody across the street. So it's not the devil telling me to do that, and it's definitely not myself. It's the Spirit of God that lives in me because I am the temple of God and I am not my own. I am bought with a price. Therefore, when Jesus speaks to me through his Spirit, I've got to move and I've got to act on that. See, that's how I know. That's the test. Church, if you don't get anything from here, you want to know how to hear the voice of God? Is when a thought comes in your mind that you know you wouldn't have thought and you know that the enemy wouldn't have done. The enemy will always sow seeds of doubt in your mind. He will question who you are based off your sin conscience. That's where doubt comes from. But God will never send you words of doubt. He will only send you words of encouragement. He will only send you words of faith. He'll only send you words that says you can do it. He'll only send you his word, which says all things are possible in him. Amen? That's all God will speak to you. That's how you know if it's God or if it's not God. Because I wouldn't tell myself to do those things. Why? Because in and of myself, I am selfish. Let's just be real. Because I am. We better move. Back to Numbers. This was a test of faith for Caleb. And this is why he had to stand up and he had to speak. Caleb said what he believed. We know that faith is believing and it's in our mouth. And Paul said in Romans that we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. It's those two things. That's where faith is. It's those two. In Mark 11:23, he shall have whatsoever he says. You say to the mountain and then you're going to have it what you what? Say. Believing's the first part. Saying is the second. You've got to say it out of your mouth. You've got to say what you believe. Caleb spoke this to these people. He quieted everybody down, and he spoke this despite the pressure from the majority of the spies. This brings us to the next characteristic. Let's look at it in verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone, as spies, is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." Now, so this is their response. This is what the naysayers were going to say. How many know about naysayers? Well, I sure do. I've been told by different individuals, you'll never do this, you'll never do that. I've been told that. Now, see, and then, you know, and I would, whenever I come back growing up, when I would say something like that to my father would say, "Oh, no. No, 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 you got to ignore that." I used to, you know, in 6th and 7th grade, I used to get picked on a lot and this and that, and I thought this, and I'd come home, and Mom, you know, she was the encourager. My dad, he was the encourager. We get encouraged by our parents, and in that same way we get, and that's what we should do. Maybe you didn't get that encouragement, but the Heavenly Father is the ultimate encourager. And if you didn't experience that, you can go to the Heavenly Father. And when you know that you know, but there's all the naysayers around you, there's the voices of doubt from the enemy that's coming and speaking to you and saying, "Oh, no, you can't. You're not going to amount to this. You're not going to amount to that. You can't do that." See, this is the characteristic. Number four, they were not easily influenced by others. And we could even throw in there the enemy, because the enemy will always try to influence you to do the opposite of what God put in your heart. The moment you speak it out of your mouth, the enemy now's heard it, and now he is against you. You say, "Well, why should I speak?" Because your words have power. And when he comes and he tries to do that, you have power over that as well. No matter what he says. They weren't easily influenced by others. We've got to stay free from the contamination of evil reports. It's necessary to stay in faith and possess the promises of God. When the majority saying it's not possible, pointing out all the obstacles that have to be overcome, that's what the enemy likes to do. He makes that list. "Oh, see, there's this and there's that and there's this. Tell you how, oh, you're not talented enough. You're not this enough. You can't do it. You've got to rise above that, church. You've got all," when he's pointing out all these obstacles, the spirit of faith, you've got to tap into that and let it overcome you. Just like Caleb and just like Joshua did, they reached down inside and they quieted everyone and they said, "No, no, this is what God said." And then we continue to read, you know, because 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Here's the faith of Joshua and Caleb in Numbers chapter 14. We look in verse 1. "So all the congregation lift up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'If we had only had died in the land of Egypt, or if we had only died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' They said to one another, 'Let's select a leader and return to Egypt.'" That's terrible. After all of that, after all the miracles, all the plagues, they cried out, and after all the miracles, and Moses had brought them that far, parted the Red Sea, smacked a rock, and water flowed out of it. I mean, what more can you do? You've seen all of this. Now we want to select a different leader. We've seen all that, but we don't have faith to overcome these other, you know, the bad guys. Unbelievable, right? Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. They were distraught. They didn't know what to do. But, in verse 6, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. I want to go back to verse 8. If the Lord delights in us, then he'll bring us into the land and give it to us. Understand, this is not a phraseology here where they're saying, well, if the Lord delights, then he'll do this. So let's just go see. No, this is rhetorical. They already know the Lord delights in them. And they're saying, the Lord delights in us. Why are y'all so scared? Next verse, look at this. Only do not rebel, or verse 8, verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. I love that. I love that a lot. In other words, they're going to be our punching bag. In other words, see, this is how I know the previous verse, that was rhetorical. Notice the faith of Joshua and Caleb. They already could see the end, the thing that everybody else couldn't see, because they saw with their all these obstacles. They were listening to those voices in their ear. They saw all this, and the fear struck their heart. But Joshua and Caleb, the only thing they could see is the victory at the end. That's all they could see. Why? They were standing on what God had already promised. When you get a word from God, when you're in prayer or you're in the Word of God, and the Lord speaks to you, understand that it's already done. Just as he spoke to Jeremiah, it was already done before I even knew you. It was already done. And it's already done in the future. It's already planned out. It's already there. All you have to do is choose to take it. Now, did they choose to take it? In Numbers 14, verse 10, and all the congregation said to stone them with stones. That was their response. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Now, look, and the congregation said to stone them with stones. Church, you might be all by yourself in faith, so much that it feels like everyone is against you. And it seems like everyone just wants to stone you with stones. Understand, you have to fall back on what God said in the beginning. I used to do that a lot, and now I don't even have to do it anymore. Let me explain. The Lord began to show me different things throughout in ministry. He would show me what he wanted me to do. It started way back when it came for youth ministry and beginning a ministry to teenagers. And we grew that group up to, I think, probably the highest we got was in the 30s, somewhere low 30s. And we were at the Boys and Girls Club in the upper room. And the Lord began to, you know, speak to me about that ministry way before we began to do it. Way before. And he began to put it on my heart. Now, before we did it, I tried everything within my power to get out of it. Let me explain what I mean. I began to look at the obstacles. Oh, that were in my life. Or, well, what about this? Or what about that? Whatever it could, I mean, I heard so many different voices of doubt before I stepped out to do that ministry on my own that my mother and my father had prepared me for, that I almost didn't do it. I almost didn't. I was talking myself out of it. But then there came a time when the Lord reminded me of what he originally spoke to me from the very beginning. Because here's how this works, church. It's like this, and look, I don't have scriptures for this. I'm just telling you my own experience. God would speak to me, and then he would leave it. It was like he was nowhere to be found right after he spoke it. How many has experienced that before? Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. I'm just saying, the Lord spoke it, and now he's gone. And you know what he was wanting me to do? To have faith in what he said. That's what he wanted. And then all these obstacles, and then it came a time I'm praying, I'm like, well, Lord, what about this? And it reminded me of what he told me from the beginning. And he said, now stop questioning it. Don't question it again. Just stop. And so whenever the voice of doubt would come, I would just go back in my mind to what God told me in the beginning. What did God say? Because, see, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows it all. And sometimes you've got to go back to the beginning where your word was first spoken to you to have the victory to see it to completion. And it doesn't matter what the obstacles are from here to there. It doesn't matter what they are at that point because you always remember what God said. And obstacles start to come. You go, oh, no, enemy, you don't understand what God said. See, when God told me I would have a firstborn son, he left it, and that was it. I grabbed it. I believed it. I never for a moment on that one, I never doubted it. It was that strong in me when he spoke it. Therefore, when anything began to speak that was doubt, it was just like, nope. It was so easy. Now in my life, because of all these times that God has spoken to me and I've gone back to the beginning, now I don't have to go back to the beginning because it's already in me to the point where I don't have to be reminded. I just know that I know it's there and there's nothing that can deter me. Can you say amen? What that is point number two, coming to the maturity. We get before God to the point and we're in prayer to where we're settled in our spirit and it's already done. And I will believe, there are certain things God has shown me, I will believe it till the day I die, even if I don't see it. That's what the great men of faith that we read about in Hebrews 11, they did it all. They believed all the way to the end. And some of them didn't see the big promise. Now they saw all these other things in their life and the fulfillment of many promises, but they held on to the end. All the way till they died. Church, I believe that what God has shown you and he said it's going to come to pass in your life, that it's going to come to pass. Even if it's going to take 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years, I don't care. Holding fast in faith all the way to the end. All the way. The fifth one, they had faith and they had patience. In Numbers 14, verse 36, now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. Look at this back, verse 37. The very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. Church, I want to give you something here with this. It's coming to me right now. I didn't study this. I didn't even think about it. Whew. See, when the Lord gives you a word, you've got to go to the end. Because, see, things will fall apart. See, these men, they were told the word. They knew the promise. They knew the promise. Moses had spoken and said, the Lord says he's going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. That was before they even left Egypt. That was what was supposed to stay on in their eye gates. Their ears were only supposed to hear what the Lord was saying, and that was it. But see, when you decide to give in to the obstacle and you see just like these other 10, they died. Church, I'm not telling you you're going to die. I'm just going to tell you that your life's not going to go as well as it would have if you held on to the promise. Always be moving towards your promise without doubt. Amen. Back to this, verse 37. The very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague of the Lord. But see, Joshua and Caleb, they didn't die. They didn't. Because they held on. It had nothing to do, look, church, it had nothing to do with their age. Get this. Look what it says. Verse 37, died by the plague before the Lord. Some of those other men that went out, we don't know. We don't see the record. I don't know how old they were. But see, it's always been taught that, okay, the older generation, they died on so the younger generation could go. No. Has nothing to do with age. It has to what you believe and what you're confessing with your mouth. Amen. Do not give in to any voices. All of you that are, you know, a little on the older side, don't give in to the voice of the enemy and say, you're too old. That's baloney. Enough said there. The word says that Joshua and Caleb remained alive after all the doubters who spoke the evil before the Lord had died. In Hebrews 6, 11 and 12, the writer says that those who have the diligence of faith and patience will possess the promises. You can look those up later. Patience is the ability to stay in faith as long as it takes. Faith is believing, patience is knowing. Amen? We went over that before. James tells us that. Faith is believing, patience is knowing. When you know something, you don't have to see it to believe it. You just know. The sixth characteristic, and I'm going to leave you with this, they knew when to move. They knew when to move. Throughout all this time, when Joshua and Caleb, when they went, Joshua knew when to march around Jericho. He knew when to go to this battle or that battle. Throughout all the times, he knew when to go and when to stay. As they were taking the promised land, he was led by the Lord, and he knew when it was time to move and when it wasn't time to move. Another example of this is when Caleb, near the end, the inheritance was getting divided up. Not everybody had been conquered yet, but they were dividing up the tribes of Israel, the inheritance to the tribes. And Caleb, when he was 85 years old, he goes to Joshua, who's the leader, and he says, give me this mountain. This was promised to me, and he says, give me this mountain. And there were people still on the mountain. He said, I'm just as able as I was when I was younger. Give me this mountain. I'll go and I'll take that thing. We don't have time to read all that and get it. But he said, I'll go and I'll do it. Give me this day. And Joshua granted it to him. And it said to that day that was in all his descendants, that right there was his inheritance, Caleb, because of the faith that he spoke with his mouth. Amen. At some point, when God lays something on your heart and you've gone through life and you've seen all these trials, all these tribulations and afflictions, at some point we ignore the enemy that's on the mountain and we turn to God and we say, give me this mountain. You say, well, teacher, I don't speak like that to God. I don't tell God anything like that. Moses did. And he was counted as a friend of God. And the scripture says that we are the friend of God. I come before God. He said, God, you promised me this. I'm moving towards it. Lord, I'm expecting it because you spoke it. You created it beforehand. You spoke it into existence. It's already done. Amen, church. Can we all stand? There is a mountain that the Lord has promised me for this church. And it's called a church building. I got a couple amens of agreement with me. The Lord promised me something for this church, and it's called our own church building. We're getting there. Let's do it one more time. The Lord promised me something, and we're getting there. For this church, and it's called a church building. Amen. Now we're there. Hey. See, amen means so be it. That means you just agreed. Faith just came out of your mouth. See, I'm going to keep that word of the Lord before me. And see, from time to time, I say to the Lord, give me that mountain. Amen? What has God spoken to you in your life? Today we're going to pray and we're going to say, the Lord, give me that mountain. Just like Caleb, he came to Joshua, he said, give me that mountain. And he said, and he came and received the inheritance of the Lord. What has God spoke to you in your life that you haven't seen yet? Maybe it's a loved one who hasn't come to the Lord. Maybe it's a certain job promotion or this or that. Whatever it is that God has laid on your heart that you know that you are supposed to have, I want us to go before the Lord and believe in faith and confess it with our mouth. And maybe if you're here, you say, well, God hasn't told me anything. This morning, I want you to believe, and that's the first thing we're going to pray. Believe that God's going to speak to you even this day. And if not this day, then this week. If not this week, next month. And you're going to stay before him and you're going to commit to God. God, I'm going to get before your word. I'm going to be in it. I'm going to be before you in prayer no matter what. Because I need a word from you, Lord, so I can make sure that I'm moving towards my promise. But maybe you haven't gotten that promise yet. God wants to give you a promise this morning. Amen. This morning, let's go to God and pray. Let's do that first. And then we're going to thank God for the promise in our life. And we're going to say to God, I'm going to continue to move towards that promise without doubt. I'm not going to listen to the words of doubt. I'm not going to be easily influenced by those around me that would speak against what you've told me. Amen. How many is ready to pray the prayer of faith? Keep those hands up right now, Father God. Lord, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, praying by your Holy Spirit this morning. And Lord, for those here who have not had a promise spoken to them by you, Lord, they're not sure what it is. It's like a cloud before them. They're like in that wilderness. Lord, as your children wandered in the wilderness, it's like they're wandering. Lord, I thank you. You're bringing them out of the wilderness. You're bringing them out of the wandering, and you're bringing them into their promised land. Lord, I thank you for speaking to them that promise that you've given to them. Lord, when things aren't clear and things are cloudy, I thank you for the clarity of your Holy Spirit working in their life. Lord, we cry out to you right now, and we thank you for your word. And Lord, for those of us who have heard your word, Lord, we stand in faith, and we say, just like Caleb, he spoke in faith, and he said, give me this mountain. Lord, we thank you, our church building, it's already done. It's already there. It's paid for. It's debt free. Father God, we call it forth now in the name of Jesus because you have spoken it. And so we speak it with our mouth even now. Lord, the promises that you've given these here individually in their life. Lord, I thank you. You are meeting every single need. You are meeting that promise. You are bringing them towards that promise. Lord, I thank you for victory. Lord, and the spirit of defeat and poverty is under our feet now. Lord, and we thank you for the victory in Jesus' name. I thank you for household salvations. Lord, I thank you for debts being erased. I thank you for wisdom being poured out on your people so we can accomplish your will here. Your kingdom come, Lord, on this earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's give him praise. Father God, you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy of all praise. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.